The reading is once again the 23rd Psalm. You'll find it on page 555 in your church Bibles. Page 555. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
And now Rory is coming to speak to us.
Well, good morning. As was said before, my name is Rory Kinnaird. I'm from Cornerstone Church in Kingston. And I have been here a couple of times before, so you might recognise me, you might not. But it is great to be here with you and just looking at this this wonderful psalm. And it is a very beautiful psalm. And hopefully we can do it a bit of justice this morning. Let me pray and then we'll get stuck in. Father, we thank you so much that we're able to gather together as your people this morning. We thank you that you have given us the word of God in our own language so that we may read it for ourselves, so that we may listen to it being preached. And so we pray that as we come to your word now, that you will help us to listen. Father, help us to get rid of all distractions that might be going on in our heads. It's a busy time of year. We might be thinking about what's for dinner or the carol service later or what Christmas presents we need to get for people. But Father, we pray that all of those things will just be put aside for now and that we will listen to what your word has to say to us. And Father, I pray that you help me to rely upon you. I pray that you use me as an instrument to speak your words. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I gather that you've been looking at God's presence during your lead up sort of to the Christmas period. And obviously today we're kind of trying to carry on with that theme in Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23 is probably one of the most pastoral and personal passages that there is in the entire Bible. And hopefully we're going to get a lot out of it. But as I begin, I would like to sort of start by talking about leaders. What do we think or is a good leader? What do we look for in leaders? And I guess there's a lot of different types. Now, one of the programs, the TV programs I've been watching lately is The Apprentice. Now, I don't know if you follow that, you might not. Now, in The Apprentice, you get two opposite ends of the extreme often. Okay, you either get the one type of leader who does absolutely nothing, right? They just let everyone do the work for them. They sort of sit back and go, oh yeah, you can do that, you do that, and I won't do anything. And what usually happens is it's a total failure and they get fired, which is a good thing. And then you've got the other end of the spectrum. You've got kind of the really bossy one who, even though isn't the elected leader, ends up taking over and is the leader. So you get those two opposite ends. But now and then you get a good leader in The Apprentice, someone who listens to the people around them, someone who gets stuck in, leads by example. And I think that's something that we kind of look for in our leaders. We want someone who listens. We want someone who is for us. We want someone who leads by example. And in this passage today, I think we see the leadership of the Lord. And we sort of see that in two forms. So the first thing that I want you to see is the Lord as shepherd. The Lord as shepherd. And that's in the first four verses. Now, I guess that most of us here who live in Tolworth or Chesington or Surbiton aren't really familiar with shepherding. I know that I'm not. But I think we can just about get this, okay? Now, we get many names for the Lord. We get King, we get Creator, we get Father. And those words are kind of really authoritative. And you kind of fear those sort of, there's this element of fear within those roles. But one of the best and most sweet and most lovely names for the Lord is Shepherd. Is the shepherd. And actually, the Bible uses this image throughout its pages. God is seen as shepherd. He guides his people. He takes them from one place to another. He cares for them. And that's what we're going to see in this passage. So David starts the passage, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's not the shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's a really, really personal passage. Now, other religions, I guess, do not have this personal connection with the God. It's not like, he's my shepherd, he cares for me. But if you look throughout that passage, if you look down at it, you'll see that the word my, me, I is used constantly as he relates to the Lord his God. And look what type of shepherd he is in that first verse. My version, it says, "I lack nothing." I think yours says something about not wanting. It means that I have everything that I need. If you are one of God's sheep, there is nothing that you lack. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who provides every single thing that we need. We're not in want. And you can see that as we go on. Look down at verse 2-3. Apologize if my words are a little bit different to yours. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. See, just as a normal shepherd would look out for his sheep, they would bring him to lovely fields of green grass and lovely waters to care for them, to nourish them. So the God of the Bible looks after his people. He gives them peace. He gives them security. He restores their soul. He brings life when they're feeling down and depressed. See, God cares for his sheep. He refreshes them. He refreshes them with their soul. And he's a God who cares for our needs. He's a God who cares for both spiritual and physical needs. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Give us today our daily bread. We want God to provide us with our daily needs. And then there's that security. That's a really important thing. When you're one of God's sheep, you're absolutely secure. You're absolutely secure because God, the all-powerful God, is your shepherd. It's a safe place. But not only that, did you see, he makes sure you don't get wandering off from the right path. I don't know if you know anything about sheep. I guess you know a little bit. But sheep are incredibly thick animals, right? They're not the brightest up here. They go wandering off. They go and get lost. In fact, I remember I teach English to kids who get kicked out of school. And one of my lessons is about complaining. And one of the slides I put up was about a well that had been broken down, okay? Someone had taken down a well, and what had happened was that a load of lambs had all walked, and they just kind of follow each other. I don't know if you ever played Lemmings, but they all kind of just follow each other, and they sort of one fell down, and the next one fell down, and the next one fell down, next. They're so stupid. They don't know what they're doing. And so they need a shepherd to stop them from going down the well and dying. They need to stop themselves from wandering off the path, meeting a hungry wolf or lion or whatever it is, a predator, before it rips them apart. Okay? That's what they need, and that's what God does. He says, I won't let you stray. I won't let you stray. I won't let you go off and fall into that sin. I won't let you go off and run away from me. I'm going to keep you. That's what God is like. I'm going to keep you on the straight and narrow. I'm going to keep you in a righteous place. And so, something that we need to learn in these opening verses is that these are times of relative ease for the God's person, for God's sheep. They're times in which we can know that God is good and life is going well and we're living as we should as God's people. And what we should be doing is thanking God for his goodness towards us. And we should be learning more and more about what a good God he is. What a comforter he is. What a great shepherd he is. Because what you see is actually just because they're righteous paths doesn't mean they're safe paths. Look down at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See that? They've been taken down a path, but it's the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, it's changed from God being he to you. This is turned into a prayer. See, as God's people, as God's sheep, it doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be hardships and trials and suffering. It doesn't mean that there'll be no opposition, that there'll be no one out to get you. In fact, if you look at the previous Psalm, Psalm 22, there's loads of predators out to get David. But what it does mean, that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is there, my shepherd, I've got nothing to fear. No need to fear at all. The Lord is with his people. He's there. As you can see, he's uttering words of comfort. He's letting them know that he's there. In the shadow, in the darkness, he's there with his staff and his rod saying, I'm here. I'm here, don't worry, you're safe. And this is all throughout the Old Testament. But the good news is that it carries on into the New Testament. And so you see that actually Jesus is the shepherd as well. And this is really one of the reasons why Christmas is such a great period to be celebrating. Because we're celebrating that Emmanuel is here, that God is with us. And this is what is predicted. If you listen to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, you know when the magi, the wise men, come and they're trying to find the king, and they can't find him, they go to Herod, and Herod's, oh no, they're another king, a threat. And they scour the Old Testament, and they find this passage in Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. See that? The Lord Jesus is the one who is going to come and shepherd his people. And it goes on from there. Just think about it. You know when Jesus is going around and he sees the crowds and they're sort of all just mingling around and Jesus says, they look like sheep without a shepherd and he has compassion on them. Or even John chapter 10. Let me read a bit of John chapter 10 to you. Wonderful words in which Jesus really just says, yes, it's me, the shepherd. This is what he says in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you hear that? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus says, I will give up my life upon a cross for my sheep. And so, if you trust in the Lord Jesus to die for you, to take your sin, to be the Good Shepherd, then it's the same things. You're going to lack nothing. There's peace. You have peace with God. You have security. And even in the darkest of times, and there are dark times, and I'm sure some of you can relate, we have hardship, we have pains, we have aches, we have groans. We have loved ones who get cancer and other diseases. We ourselves feel those pains. But even in those dark times, we can know that the Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he promises to be with us. So keep trusting in him. Keep trusting him, even in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the dark times, keep trusting in the Lord Jesus, because he has died for you. We've been studying Romans at church. It's one of the most wonderful books in the Bible. And Romans 8 really just shows this. It says, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing, not trouble or hardship or suffering, sword, anything, persecution. No. The Good Shepherd's got you. In the midst of suffering, I can say, I don't fear, because the Lord Jesus is for me. So there you have him. He's the Good Shepherd. But look, secondly, and a little bit quicker, the Lord is a host. So verses 5 to 6, you'll see this. And actually, you'll see in verse 5 that the image kind of shifts. We've gone from having sheep, and we're now at the dinner table. Bit weird, but that's okay. But I guess this is a bit more understandable for us. I guess some of you have had people over for dinner. You've had to cook them a nice meal, and they've hopefully eaten the nice meal and complimented it. So here we have a dinner table, and actually the Lord is the host who brings people to the table. And who's at the table? It's God's people. God honors the guest. That's what the pouring of the oil on the head. When you have a guest over to honor the guest, you pour oil on the head. But it's not just that. Look at what the cup's saying. My cup overflows. Here, actually, we have a feast. This is a beautiful banquet. We've got Christmas coming up. What a great banquet that is. You've got your turkey. You've got your pigs in blankets if you go for that. You've got your red cabbage if you love red cabbage. Brussels sprouts for whoever loves them. I don't know who does. Some do. Here you have a feast. It's a feast of victory. It's a feast of life. And where's the feast of life in the midst of? It's in the midst of enemies, in the place of death. But the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people, cannot do anything about it. No matter what, God's people will always have the victory. And then he goes on, you get another slight shift in verse 6, if you read that with me. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so here you have a shift from the dinner table to the house of the Lord, which is even grander. This is like Christmas dinner times 400. I don't know, maybe the pigs in blankets are huge. But look, David here, this meal that he has is just a little glimpse of what he has in the future. And what he has in the future is an eternal and glorious hope. The man of God will be in his presence forever, and they will be worshiping him forever. They can't do that yet. Man is away from God because of their sin. We're separated from him because of our sin. But there is a day coming when we'll be face to face with him, and we'll worship him forever. But whilst we wait, the host will be with us. The Lord will be with us. He will be doing good for us, and he will be showing his faithful and steadfast love throughout. And you know how this is made possible for us today? Well, it's the Shepherd King dying on that cross. Dying on that cross so we have the victory, so we have life. And so Jesus can host this meal of life of a victory. And this is kind of what communion's about, isn't it? When we come to the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, we eat the bread, we drink the wine to remember that we have the victory, that we have life, that Jesus defeated death, sin, and Satan on the cross and brought us life. And he will love us for all our days. For all the time that we're on here, he will love us and he will continue to do so. And he will go on to keep on loving us when we get to that eternal future that is to come. So Christian, keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. Keep remembering what he has done on the cross. And we keep remembering by taking part in that meal, that dinner table that we're a part of, whilst we wait for what? The eternal future. The day when we'll see the Lord Jesus in all his glory, where we will have no more hardship, where he brings us to the safest place. And maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus. And I would like to say to you today, if that is you, why not trust in him now? The only place that you'll find security and hope and peace is in the Lord Jesus. Nothing else in this world. You won't get it in your education. You won't get it in your friends. You won't get it in your children or your grandchildren. In investing in them, the only place where there is security, hope, comfort, rest, refreshment is in the Lord Jesus. As I finish, let me just read Revelation 7. Revelation is a glorious book which points us to the future that we have. There is a day coming, brothers and sisters, when we will no longer be in this world. It will have passed. And we will be in a new world. And what we see in chapter 7, if you're there with me, we read from verse 15. There's a load of people in front of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. They've been washed with his blood. And he says this in verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Just as David said, we'll be in your temple, in your house. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. There's your security. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let me pray as we finish. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is indeed the good shepherd that was willing to lay down his life so that we may have eternal life with you. Father, we pray that you'll help us to keep on trusting in you. We help us to not fear when there's darkness around us, when there's pains, when there's people in our families suffering with affliction, when people oppose us for the love we have for the Lord Jesus. We pray that we'll continue to rely on you. We pray that we'll keep on remembering what you have done in dying on a cross for us. And we pray that we'll keep our eyes fixed firmly on the future that awaits us, when the good shepherd will be there and lead us to springs of living water, and you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We thank you so much for this passage, Lord. In your name, amen.